My name is AJ Delayer, Alan Joseph Delay, and my talk is on AI safety. And the question is, what can Christian ethics contribute? Now, you'll notice in the program, there are two different titles. The other one is Christian Ethics to Prevent Disasters. That comes from my background. I do safety research in mining engineering, and we prevent mining disasters. And so the idea is that if Christian ethics can contribute to AI safety, then perhaps Christian ethics can prevent disasters too. So briefly, I want to talk about who is involved in this talk, myself and in Canada and around the world. What is AI safety? What do we mean by Christian ethics? What is the problem? Where do we go towards a solution? And when do we apply this? We're going to think about strategic thinking and foresight. Hopefully we'll have enough time for that. So I'm a master's student. I received NSERC Industrial Partnership funding for research in mining safety engineering. And so I worked in corporations doing my master's work. I developed a deep learning application called a variational autoencoder, and I applied it to evaluate large data sets for occupational health surveys in response to large mining corporations' requests that we develop some research to help their employees out. I presented the research at a conference in Athens, Greece in 2016, but now I'm focusing my attention on the important issue of AI safety. Canada leads the world in machine learning research commercialization. Some of the famous researchers from the field include Geoffrey Hinton. His grandfather was George Boole, the famous logician. Joshua Fangio, who's very, very advanced in deep learning, and Rich Sutton here at the University of Alberta, who is very, very advanced with regards to reinforcement learning. And I think it's important to keep our leading edge as Canadians in machine learning and AI, and this is important to our conference here. They're the CSCA, okay? what is AI safety? Now, this is a definition taken from a publication by MLA et al. Called Concrete Problems in AI Safety. It's getting very famous and a lot of airtime. Rapid progress in machine learning and artificial intelligence, AI, has brought increasing attention to the potential impacts of AI technologies on society. We discuss one such potential impact, the problem of accidents in machine learning systems, defined as unintended and harmful behavior that may emerge from poor design of real-world systems. So that's what I look at. What is AI ethics, and what if it's not Canadian? There are currently growing global arms race for dominance in machine learning and AI technologies. China has become very assertive in its move to gain world dominance in AI, and a new report from Oxford University's Future of Humanity Institute describes China's dream for AI. This is an example. All of the reports that I mentioned here are available on my website. I'll mention the URL afterwards. There are links to the actual sites. So this is called a report from Oxford, Deciphering China's AI Dream, the context, components, capabilities, consequences of China's strategy to lead the world in AI. The RAND Corporation has reported on threats of AI, specifically increased chances of nuclear war. Automated weapons, automatic weapons, autonomous weapons are a big issue, not one that I'm going to deal with in this talk, but it's really important to think about, especially as Christians. There's a global arm race, and Europe has responded in this way. Also from Oxford University, report that on the 10th of April, 25 European countries signed a declaration of cooperation on artificial intelligence. So 25 countries in Europe have come together to cooperate, and they intend to, by teaming up, increase the opportunities of AI for Europe. So we see that there's a lot of posturing going on around the world. This is in the UK. The House of Lords, which is one of the parliamentary bodies, has produced this position. And this is important to, I think, our position as Christians and AI ethics and Christian perspectives on AI ethics. The UK is in a strong position to be a world leader in the development of artificial intelligence. This position, coupled with a wider adoption of AI, could deliver a major boost to the economy. That's how they see it. Now, the best way to be a world leader, they think, is to put ethics at the center of AI development and this development and use. So how they see development of AI, the best way to go forward is to focus on ethics. So I think that's an important thing to think about. This is taken from a conference that I was at UFT in October. Now, in this schedule, the PM was not listed, but he crashed the conference. He came in shortly after lunch. There was no mention of him arriving at all. but he wanted to be there. It was the creative destruction lab, and they specialize in machine learning and quantum machine learning. So most of the audience was individuals who are interested in developing and commercializing AI technologies. There were banks, financial institutions, very powerful people, and it was a great conference, and also other people that had some really effective perspectives. Now, I think that Canada, and so does the PM, thinks that Canada should be lead in AI safety and ethics. And I don't see any reason why we don't build the kind of cooperative relationships that Europe has, perhaps with the United States or other countries as well. So again, I'd like to review the problem, particularly the part that's highlighted. Accidents in machine learning systems that find this unintended and harmful behavior may emerge from poor design of real-world AI systems. Now, what's the problem of AI alignment? This is what the problem, one of the problems in AI safety that I think that we can address as Christians. And the problem of AI alignment is to produce AI that is aligned with human values. What does it mean to be aligned with human values? Well, it could mean the AI just does what you want. But that's a difficult perspective, because that could also mean the AI is aligned with, it's a good perspective for Christian ethics. It could mean that it's aligned with our perspectives, but it can also create problems. And one of the major analogies that's being used to describe the problem of AI alignment is this story here, which you will remember from Disney's 1940s animation, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I'm not too sure how to play this on this machine. So,
well, I clicked on the image that seemed to have worked for some people, not from the remote, but right on the keyboard.
Left click.
Oh, right, I see. So, I guess I'll just choose group. I'm sorry about that. I don't want to take up too much time. There's a lot of information. This will remind you of the story. I'll describe the situation with regards to the analogy with Mickey Mouse. If you'll recall, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Mickey Mouse is an apprentice to a sorcerer, and he's very excited to run the business, and he wants to be able to be a sorcerer. And when the sorcerer leaves, what he does is he has the task of filling a cauldron up with water. So he thinks, okay, I want to figure this out. I'll do this better by doing what my boss does. And so he takes the sorcerer's hat, puts it on, and conjures the brooms up. You may remember this, when the brooms are out, and he gets the brooms to do the work for him, carry the water. The problem is not a problem of the RoboCop or the superintelligence is wiping out humanity. The problem is that the brooms, the AI, do it too well, and they don't stop filling the cauldron. Soon, the whole place is flooded, and Mickey forgets. What's the code? I forgot the code. I forgot the magic spell in order to see how to turn off the system. So these brooms are multiplying, and you can imagine that's the difficulty. And you'll remember that that's basically what happens in this story. The analogy is simple, and you can make the relationships yourself. AI may do the job too well. Are the goals of the AI aligned with our goals as humans? They may be doing the task, they may actually reach the goal, but how did they get there? It's important to think. Here's an example of a recent story that we all know. Uber self-driving cars, deaths caused by software that ignore the pedestrian. So this isn't just a possibility anymore, it's a reality with AI systems, autonomous systems. Now, this is the distinctions that are important. There is a distinction between Christian ethics and Christian values. I wanted you to think about that. I think that both Christian ethics and Christian values can be applied to considerations of AI safety. There's also a distinction between decision theoretic and moral philosophy. Now, what I'm going to be looking at a lot is this distinction to see how we can apply Christian ethics to AI systems. First, I'll begin with describing a statement by an AR researcher named Russell. The primary concern is not spooky emergent consciousness, but the ability to make high quality decisions. That's an area of utility, preference, and decision theoretic. But you also remember the first example, the most popular example, of someone who tried to solve this problem was Isaac Asimov in his book, I, Robot, Three Laws of Robotics. Rule number one says, a robot must not injure a human being or, through an action, allow a human being to come to harm. Now, Peter Norvig, who is also with Russell, a very famous AI researcher, observed that the last two laws don't matter because there would always be some tiny possibility that the human may come to harm. Okay, we're still stuck with law number one. But this is the important part. Norvig believed that one cannot apply the laws of robotics to AI agents because one must have a utility function rather than a hierarchical deontological rule. The rules Isaac Asimov provided are hierarchical and deontological. So the moral philosophy or ethics, the real kernel of the question in AI safety is the question of risk. And that's what we're trying to evaluate. Philosophers of technology have addressed this question through safety engineering research. But the question of risk is still not well dealt with in the ethics community. Dune and Hansen state it remains for philosophers of technology to investigate principles underlying safety engineering and clarify how they relate to other areas of engineering design. A response to this position could be found in the ethicist Robert Nozick's perspective. So we can make comments about the ethics of risk, but how do we respond to that in a real way? Robert Nozick suggests that rights, human rights, rights in general, are based on moral theory, which underlies the right not to be risk exposed. And this is an important thing to think about how AI may affect us in the future. And you may feel this way already with big data analysis and what have you. Our duty not to harm other people can be extended to a duty not to perform such actions. So, Christian contributions. This is the bottom line. This is the main point I'd like to be able to talk about here. And it's in order to improve AI alignment, experts argue that we need to improve methods of deriving and assigning utility. We've heard that from Nozick, Norvig. And it's also stated that deontological methods of developing ethics-specific directives cannot be applied to the AI alignment problem. That was also Norvig. However, Christian ethics may be able to contribute solutions to the AI alignment problem because of our deep understanding of logos, the word. Philosophers of technology state that it remains for philosophers of technology to investigate the principles. And the idea that we're trying to treat is the activity of intelligent agents. AI systems in smart cities and industries where AI is employed are made up of multiple agents that interact with one another. An intelligent agent is an autonomous, goal-directed entity which observes acts and acts upon the environment. Now, because intelligent agents make decisions on our behalf, they hold an authority to perform or enact such actions that may be associated with the decision. Searle suggests that this is a speech act theory put forward by Davidson, and the idea is that, related to logos, or the idea of logos that we understand really well, philosophers have suggested that by uttering a sentence with a performative prefix, a speaker manifests an intention to perform an act of a certain kind. In ordering you to close the door, says Searle, I manifest an intention of ordering you to close the door. You can see a relationship with logos. You will see, hopefully, a relationship with logos where the word becomes flesh and the word is active action. Likewise, if we order an AI to close the door, this is my perspective on Searle's statement, if the temperature, say we order an AI to close the door, if the temperature is below 25 degrees, we manifest an intention of ordering the AI to close the door, and we confer an authority upon the AI to decide on our behalf that the door should be closed or left open, and perhaps even to physically complete the action of closing the door. David Lewis, who put forward the ideas of speech act that is related to our understanding of logos, suggested an idea of deontic scorekeeping. He makes an analogy between keeping score in a baseball game and keeping score in a language-based discourse. Some philosophers have called this approach deontic scorekeeping. Lewis suggested that scorekeeping in language has a direct positive influence on processes of quantification in some examples. This is important to our intention be able to influence utility when we deal with the mathematics of a machine learning system that makes decisions in order to be able to complete our tour of placing Christian ethics as having a contribution. So we can influence decision making through applying speech act theory in order to discuss our understanding of different activities that are ethically appropriate in such a way that maybe provide us with an understanding that is quantifiable. Dune and Hansen claim that it remains for a philosopher of psychology to investigate principles underlying safety engineering, and this deontic scorekeeping may allow the development of deontological theories, ethical theories, to inform the development of normative applications. So because of our understanding as Christians of the book of Genesis, we can understand how the speech act can be made manifest as an action. And there was an important experience that I had here on campus, and that was the bell tower, as I was walking around last night, I saw that we sound out God's words. I thought that was an important perspective for me to try to be able to effectively convey the ideas that I want to convey with regards to AI safety. Logos has been regarded as an important in establishing the divinity of Jesus Christ and being the Son of God by Trinitarian theologians. And some theologians have suggested that logos may refer to the moral law written on our hearts. Justin Martyr, and also stated in a prophecy from Jeremiah 31:33. So the relationship between logos and morality and logos as a speech act process that allows us to think about ethics for machine learning can be developed if we can consider it further. And we can sound out God's words in such a way that the effects, the AI effects, the AI behaviors, the actual actions in the real world can be made such that they are not damaging or hazardous. And in this sense, we can apply ethics to them, a Christian ethics, because ethics is really deciding what is damaging, good behavior or bad behavior, because it is hazardous. And as I was mentioning, I'd like to have people join the discussion. So I wanted to thank some people. I'll leave that up there so we can get ready. But I do have a website. It's just a Twitter feed. I keep a record of interesting and appropriate documentations like the ones you've seen today. I have there's the address there. So feel free to join the discussion after. And I hope that we can think of ways to strategize for the future in such a way that the Christian ethics and theology, where the House of Lords is saying, well, we should focus and center on ethics in order to be able to develop the industry commercially. Well, we should step into the ring and say, well, we've got a good history so far, positively affecting technological development through Christian ethics. So maybe we should do this here. I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I'm taking questions anyway.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. I would like to know, how would you apply your Christian perspective to the ethics of a self-driving car, of a robot that drives your car?
Yeah, that's a good example as an autonomous system. And the ethics comes in our perspective and our analysis. Speech act theory allows us to consider that there is an action, that the agent has an authority, an authority that we confer on it by asking it to do an action on our behalf, drive a car. It's driving the car for us, so we've conferred authority to it. If we begin to understand the situation in such a way, we may be able to understand how to influence the agency of the car. But if we apply some of the speech act theory in our discourse and apply deontological scorekeeping, which is really a method of keeping score, particularly in decisions of ethics, we may be able to shape our discourse in such a way that allows us to arrive to quantified numbers, preference theory, utility theory. I prefer A more than I prefer B, more than I prefer C, is a utilitarian.
Sure, but I mean, as far as, I mean, I'm not an expert in this field, but as far as I can see, these theories are not specifically Christian. So my question was, what is the Christian contribution to that question of wrestling with the ethics of self-driving cars?
I think it's our ability to undertake and enact in Logos. We're better at it because we've been doing it. I'm saying Logos is such a strong perspective in our own culture as Christians. And if we can take that, we can have an understanding of how to effectively produce proper pointers towards the kind of relationships in the utilitarian equations that may allow us. I'm not saying that the Christian ethic becomes a nut into the machine of autonomous driving. I'm saying our understanding of risk, our understanding of safety, and all of the cultural aspects that surround it will help promote that.
And don't get me wrong, I fully agree that we as Christians will have something to contribute to this debate, but so far that has not become very crystal clear.
This isn't a final solution. This is a point, hopefully, for further research. Yes.
So what comes to my mind are using, what about the ethics of using AI to write sermons? To teach a key to use Go, pastors are busy, let's have them read 300 sermons and have the congregation listen to that. Or what about machine learned evangelism?
That's right. The bots already exist for writing theological sermons or newscasting or other NLP aspects. So it may make you feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel uncomfortable to think that might happen. But that's an important point. Why does it make you feel uncomfortable? And it's our idea that there's an object that has agency. And we have to decide how that agency is going to be affected. It has an agency, whether it's writing, any kind of article. And philosophers are beginning to understand that or discuss it a little bit more.
We're grandparents. We'll be really uncomfortable. You're the parents. You'll be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And your kids will adapt.
If
that's a crude prediction, right? Discomfort might be generational.
I think that the effect of Logos as a Christian tenet will allow us to be able to focus or point towards solutions that will allow us to be able to preserve our own perspectives and influence AI.
Have you had an example where the Christian guidance would be different from a secular ethical guidance?
Well, only in this, I didn't get it, I went quickly, but this is an example of preferences. For example, a gentleman named Lazar Yudelski is a leading expert in alignment problems, and he states that the bottom line is really about a preference relation. So here's our preference: market values. I prefer market values more than I prefer human values, more than I prefer Christian human values. So that's a utility statement that allows us to think about how we are going to be asking an AI system to make a decision, and decision theory is a decision that's based on preferences. It's our idea of how preferences can be arranged in such a way as to preserve and promote our perspective that is important to being able to express or preserve Christian ideology in our community, I think, anyway.
Has there been sort of a practical application of that kind of thing, sort of a machine or?
But it would be an interesting research activity for sure. There may be some, maybe someone else knows. Yes?
So we can all come up with our own utility content. Right? So then the question is consensus. What do you think of? What was the best method to come to consensus in our society? And then, how are we different as Christians in the process?
Right. And so, the process of Logos, as it relates to speech act theory, means that we are in discourse, and the process of discourse includes, through the scorekeeping method, a method of attaching consensus or being able to ascribe consensus based on scorekeeping. The analogy made by Davidson in his presentation was that of a baseball game. You can have a home run, which has a certain weight of value, of significance, with regards to succeeding in the game. And, or you can just run a base, which has a different weight. So there is a process that people have already thought about in order to be able to weight or to measure collective ideologies through discourse. And if we can apply logos in that process, then I think we come out ahead, hopefully.
An area of computer security has become, and writing viruses, has become fairly clear over the previous, recently, that nation states are the one of the major authors of, shall we say, computer immorality.
Yes.
What's to stop computer nation states from acting in a similar way when it comes to AI ethics?
Yes, there is none, except hopefully we can do something about that. A report that you can find a link to on my site was made by Oxford University that directly deals with malicious use of artificial intelligence in the areas of forecasting, preventing, and mitigation. So that's really realized well. And I think this is an interesting thing to consider. Your point is really important, and I'm really happy that you brought it up, because as the security mindset is a characteristic of preferred research in AI safety, people will get hired if they have a security mindset. What's a security mindset? It's engineers and programmers and thinkers who say, ask themselves, how will this fail? Or why might this formalism not really capture what we care about? Or can I find a way to break this? And as you know, with hackers and with people who do security, they're not, the whole idea of being bulletproof with regards to that is an idea of understanding failure, how your system can fail. So the thing that would be interesting for our approach as Christians is that even if we're trying to apply Christian ethics to a problem of AI safety, we stay skeptical and we think of probabilities and we think, how is this going to fail? Or is my formalism really capturing what I care about or what we care about? Yes.
Is it possible that AI safety involves just choosing the things for which AI is inappropriate to apply to in the first place because of its inability to, you know what I mean? That perhaps that's not going to be enough, that we need to exercise wisdom also in terms of the areas that we use AI for.
Right, the environment.
Yeah, like basically before we even get to this point, decide perhaps, you know, even if we can come up with a utility function that is just not appropriate. Child-minding robots, and elder care robots. We can come up with a utility function for that, but should we do that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's an important question. And it's clearly a utility function isn't the best way by itself to address the issue. We have to apply other aspects. And that was a major part of my argument, or my discussion, my point anyway, was that, you know, Christian logos can have a greater influence on maybe answering the questions that surround the importance of the utility functions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.